Hi, my name is Pierre Zacharoskaus. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia. The accent you hear is a French-Canadian accent. I grew up in Quebec. I've been meditating since 1995, so I'll just give you a bit of my meditation background so you know where I'm at and I may understand the effect that the practice have on me this time, where I came from. I've been practicing the Pleasure Jhana since 2003, so with Lee Brasington. Experience and practice in Shamatha, and in 2008, so doing mostly open presence meditation. But with all the jhana practice I had done, the mind goes there also, so it becomes a mix of Shamatha and Vipassana. I practice about at least an hour a day, up to three regularly, and I go to retreats once or twice a year, up to a month at a time. My total number of retreat days is 270, and I've got over 20,000 hours of meditation practice. When I came to this retreat, I knew hardly nothing at all about Far Kasina. I just heard that about the Kasina practice, where you use a disc of different colors or composition like earth to aid in establishing concentration. But that's all I knew. And another thing that's useful to know is when I came, I decided that before any practice, I try to build up my shamatha as much as I can so that I can hit the ground sitting. So I followed, lately, I've been working with the Mind Illuminated book to help with the shamatha, to bring it to wherever I need to improve or work on. So I worked to the 10th stage, but I never had a nimitta, never the light nimitta, with a luminous, where you see light, a disc of light, even though with all the years of jhana practice, I thought I would be one of those people who never see the light nimitta, and that's okay, can live with that. But I kept hearing about other practitioners and teachers who would teach about the deeper luminous jhanas, and most all of them use the light nimitta as a way in, like Ajahn Brahm or Pa Oak. And I thought, well, I don't think I can go to those retreats because I don't get the light nimitta. So when I said I get to level stage 10 shamatha, and the definition in the Mind Illuminated is that one of the characteristic is that you may get the light nimitta, but at the end, but I get the other characteristic, like great five piti, sukha, and a very stable mind, unified mind. So that's how I came to this retreat, totally ignorant about the practice, but with a good concentration. So I started, instead of using the, I only have 1 week, so just to, the whole retreat is a month long, but this is day seven, so I have to leave today, time constraint, unfortunately. But in the 1 week I was here, I got tremendous amount of work done, and a breakthrough that I'm very happy to have received, and very grateful, and I will take this with me now with my practice. And it's a step up in my practice and gives me a lot more to work. I specifically credit this to the practice of the Far Kasina. So the Far Kasina, I started actually without the far. We were having candles to use. But we can also use other light. Artificial light can work quite well. In the Maikuti, we had these bright round light about 18 inches across on the ceiling. So I was lying in bed one evening and stared at the light for a few minutes, a couple of minutes, then closed my eyes, and I had the after image, and then it went through the whole sequence of color changes that are described that one would expect, and that totally took me by surprise because I didn't think that my vision system would be willing or capable of producing this kind of visual effects. And it's fascinating, and it's actually totally automatic. Anyone with a more or less normal vision system, I believe now, would experience these first phases of the Kasina, going from the after image to all the different color dots. And they are absolutely beautiful and fascinating. And because of that, the mind gets drawn in, and that produces concentration. It's like being in the state of flow, reading an interesting book or watching great movie or something. When the mind gets drawn in, then other things drop out. So that got my interest. And then on the second day, over lunch, we had these little candle lights set up on the dining table, and I stared at one for a couple of minutes while eating, and then closed my eyes, and the after image of the candle changed color and gradually shrank and turned into a perfectly round little disc. And that disc, and then turned color, and it was red, and then it became very bright white, maybe a tinge of yellow. And that was 5 days ago, and it's still there. I don't need the candle anymore. And that, I think it's a definition of a nimitta, because it's obviously mind-made. It's not the shape of the flame that kind of triggered it. It's always there, even if I don't look at the candle or bright light for days at a time. And it's there continuously for hours. My concentration when I was doing, then I started doing meditation and being fascinated by this nimitta. We call it a nimitta. It meets the definition of the light nimitta. When I concentrate on it, all kind of interesting things happen. That became my practice in the past 5 days, see where this will lead. And also, because it's a fascinating object, again, it's a very good object for concentration to build shamatha. And there's a kind of time-based experience too, so a lot of changes. It's still not that stable, so there's a lot of change happening, sparks and clouds moving, and it's like a solar wind coming out of it. And sometimes it pulses and shimmer and gets brighter, and sometimes fades into black, like a little black hole in the background of light, and then comes back being brighter and so on. That kind of thing's happening. So it draws the attention, and also because of this constantly changing nature of it, it's also a good object for insight to impermanence, how this mind-made object is constantly changing. So after a couple of days of this practice, of looking at the nimitta, I started getting, once in a while, something I would call probably the first luminous jhana, where the light, a background light, grew much brighter, like a bluish, almost like an electric type, or a bright LED light. The whole field of view became extremely bright, and piti and sukha shot through the roof. And they were very slight, wispy thoughts like, oh my God, this is it, this is good. And the first time it lasted about 10 minutes. And the next day, that was spontaneous. You have to relax into it. And the second time it happened, I was lying in bed and I was tired from I go for a workout every day, keep in shape. So I was tired. I often have a nap in the afternoon. So I was lying in my bed getting some meditation and rest. And again, the first luminous jhana arose. And after a while, I heard myself snoring while I was in the jhana. And then the sound of snow woke my body up. So my body came coming in and out of sleep. But once in a while, I would snore, then it would wake up, and it would snore and wake up. And all that time, I was lucid, conscious. And after an hour, I decided I had to get up and go to the bathroom. So that was the first time that I experienced witnessing the body falling in and out of sleep while being lucid and observing all the time, plus being in a jhana, which means that I can see it become a bit of a proof of concept that someone could be lucid and conscious around the clock. I heard stories of Tibetan lamas and who are conscious around the clock, manage to remain conscious even during deep sleep. It can one data point that how this could be possible. Now, instead of just reading about it, I had just a little bit of a taste of how that could be possible. So now the light nimitta is like I had read in the account of the instructions to people who go on this retreat for the luminous jhanas, like Pat Oak and John Bram. The nimitta is always there. So when I look at the sky, when I look at the wall, even in most people's face, when I look at them, there's always this bright dot. And I, just for interest's sake, because I'm a physicist by background, so I want to measure things. And so I look at the sky with the moon, and it's compared to the moon. It looks like a little planet sitting next to the moon, and it's about half the diameter of the moon. When I look at it yesterday, it was changing between the size of the full moon or shrinking back down to half the size. And again, with playing with it, seeing how it could change, what it in size and brightness and what it relates to, it seems that the more intense I focus my attention on the nimitta, the sharper the edge and the brighter the nimitta. I mean, sometimes you even start shrinking shrinking and shrinking down to a tiny point that is extremely bright. And then it dissolves, and then it's back into a cloud. And then maybe it composes itself again to a small, very small, very bright. And then the background is always a cloud of bright white light, the same color as the Nimitta. It doesn't have much structure to it. It's like a cloud that occupies maybe a quarter of my field of vision. And that one, the brightness and the size of it corresponds more to the amount of background awareness that I pay to the surrounding. And so if I relax the attention, but I become more my energy into the awareness, then the feel that the Nimitta gets very weak or may even disappear completely, and the background gets very, very bright. That reminds me of something that Ajahn Brahm said, that the Nimitta is really the mind looking at itself, a reflection of itself, like in a mirror. I don't know if that's true, but at least from the point of view of being able to track change in intensity and quality of attention versus background awareness, it seems to be responding in real time to how these two components of consciousness are changing with time. So to go back to advice I would give someone about this practice, first, it's definitely worth doing. As you can see, I got a huge amount out of very little of this kind of practice. All these years, now 23 years of practice, I had never experienced the light Nimitta. And I got it after a few minutes of this Vipassana practice. But that obviously is the product of a trained mind, or a mind that was ready for it, a bit like a bunch of kindling in which you threw a lit match. So to get the most benefit, it's good to build up your concentration before you go on a retreat like this. Get the most concentrated you can before you go on a retreat, and then you will get a lot more out of the retreat right away. And another thing that I really like about the Vipassana practice is that it's automatic. The effect doesn't need any effort. The basic effect depends on a totally automatic reaction of the visual system when exposed to a bright light and then looking away from it or closing your eyes. I was using a face mask sometimes to help with going into total darkness because there's still quite a bit of light coming through closed eyelids. And I find that it helped the day when I was working with the light from the ceiling. I was getting brighter color and more contrast by using a face mask. Although if you're using a light that can turn on and off, and then you could turn off the light and sit in the dark, that would be sufficient. But again, to go back to that point, that the method should work, I believe, with anyone who has a normal vision system. So you expose the retina to a bright light, and then you go into relative darkness, and the photoreceptors in the retina, and then the visual system goes through a whole series of recovery phase, that are absolutely fascinating. And because it's automatic, no effort is needed. And because it's beautiful, the mind gets drawn into it. So it's got two very important factors that helps bring concentration.